Now, in these verses I read this evening, Luke chapter 2, verse 40 through 52, I want to start really with the message in verse 41 and hopefully get all the way through verse 52. And there's an incredible amount here for us to learn, but there's to see. But I want to point out three or four things that just jumps out at me, and I was thinking about it today. Already kind of had some things outlined, but I began to think about it this way, and it kind of outlines itself. And we have married people here. We have young people in this passage. We have married couples. We have a married couple with a child. We have a married couple that goes to meeting. We have a married couple that, and then we have this child, this child who is, see where he's at and what he's doing. And then we see how believers are to respond to some things. But let's, and here you know our Lord Jesus. They're seeking the Lord Jesus. You know, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And this is, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolks and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Talking about seeking him. But now here's a lesson, something that all married people, several married people here tonight. And listen to this. Here's a married couple, a young family, and they had left Nazareth to come to Jerusalem at the Feast of the Passover, to be gone from home for several days, a long journey, with great expense, great toil, great trouble, great trial, and got children to take with them. And they couldn't get in an automobile and go like to a conference or something. So here's this married couple. And it says his parents, they went to Jerusalem every year. They were poor people. They were poor. And the distance they went to worship the Lord and to take part of the Passover was a great distance. It was a long way. Great expense to them. And they honored God. They honored God by their attendance to go into this service, to go into this feast. They honored God greatly. They didn't make excuses. They never found a reason not to go. They didn't think we don't have the money. They didn't think I'm too tired. They didn't think it's too far to go. They didn't think, well, we got these kids, what are we going to do with the kids? They loaded up, put whatever they had, probably on a donkey, on an ass, and went a long way to Jerusalem to worship the Lord according to His ordinance at that particular time. And that's why the Scripture says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approach, the evil day approach." And the quickest way in the world to get in trouble is to absent yourself from the worship of God. Now here's a young couple. A young couple. Together. And they went together. I want you to notice this. They went together. They went side by side. They went together helping one another. They were a great example to their family. They was a great example to their children. They was an example to their neighbors. They was an example to the rest of those that gathered there with them. And not only that, but they took the children with them. They took the Lord Jesus Christ with them. And let me say this. Two things I want us to understand here. Is that we can help as believers, husbands and wives. We can help one another or we can hinder one another. We can strengthen one another in the grace of God or we can weaken one another in the grace of God. We can be a blessing to one another, or we can be a burden to one another. We can do things together in harmony, in unity, in love for the glory of Christ, or we can be a burden to one another, stand in one another's way. and keep people from worshiping together, coming together as a family. And certainly we wouldn't want to do that, would we? Oh no, we want to be together. You know the scripture says two is stronger than one. And over in Ecclesiastes it says if a man's by himself, he'll get cold. If he has another, two lying down together, they'll stay warm. Two are stronger than one. And a threefold cord shall not be broken. It's not easily broken. So you take a man and a woman, united together, loving one another, worshiping God together, coming to worship the living God, gathering to worship Him, and there together, that's two. And then you put Christ in it, that's three. And there ain't nothing can break that. Nothing can break that. And I say this too, and this is for people that are not married, looking to get married one of these days, this tells you to marry a believer. Right here, marry somebody that believes like you do. You parents tell your children to find somebody that believes the grace of God. That believes the way you was raised. You may not be a believer yourself, but you marry a believer. You marry somebody that agrees with you at least in the truth as you see it and understand it. But if you are a professed believer, don't marry. And don't come to me to marry if you're going to marry an unbeliever, because I'm not going to do it. I've done that one time here several years ago, and the Lord condemned me right during that service, and I said, I'll not do this again. I'll not do that again. If anybody comes to me and they say, well, you know, I'm a believer and I fell in love with this boy here or this girl here and I want to get married, well, you have to find somebody else to do it if they're not a believer, because I'm not going to yoke two people together. If they're both unbelievers, I'll marry. If they're both believers, I'll marry. But I am not going to yoke a mule and a pony together. I'm not going to do it. That's just not going to happen. Not by me. People say that's awful hard. But here's a family. And they went together helping one another. This is tough. I mean, you know, it wasn't like you and I, as easy as it is for us. They went a long way, and they was very poor people. It was an effort for them to do this. But I don't think they considered it an effort. I think they considered it a joy. I believe that they had fellowship on the way to go to the worship service. I believe they enjoyed one another thinking about going up together to worship. And took their child. And I don't believe they hindered one another or tried to weaken one another. I believe they strengthened one another. And now here's a lesson for young people. Look where our Lord Jesus Christ said. He was 12 years old, says in verse 42, when they went up to Jerusalem. To this. And 12 years old, and this is where people get the age of accountability. According to the Jews, and according to Jewish custom, when a young man became 12 years of age, he was then to be start being taught the law and the ceremonies and the rituals. He was subject then to be able to go to the synagogue and be taught and be asked the preachers or the rabbis or the teachers and ask them questions and learn from them. And so that's what, here our Lord Jesus is 12. And that's the time that they started learning the rabbinical law. And here they are. Here's our Lord Jesus. He's 12 years old. And guess where he was at? He was with his mother and daddy when they went to worship. He was with his mother and daddy. He didn't say, I don't want to go. I don't think it's fair that you make me go. I don't think it's right that I have to go. I'm just not interested in going, Daddy. They went. And he went. And he was only 12. And not only that, but he enjoyed going because he got among these fellows. He started hearing what they were teaching and he began to ask them some questions. He'd ask them questions. And that's what you young folks need to do. If you got a question, ask it. Ask it. If you got a question concerning the doctrine of Christ, concerning something in the Scriptures, ask me. Ask some of these men around here. Ask Bill. Ask Eric. Ask Obie. Ask James. Ask Floyd. Ask your daddy. Ask your father. Say, show me. I want to know this. I don't understand this. And what did you mean by that? And if you have a question, don't be afraid to ask it. And that's what our Lord did. He sat down here 12 years old and He asked questions. And that goes to show you that you're never too young to ask questions. You're never too young to start learning. Our Lord, when He was 12, He can identify with young people because He was a young child Himself. And oh, not only that, as He heard them and asked them questions, and they'd ask Him questions. What did I just say? Or what have you learned? And what do you know? And they'd ask Him questions. They'd ask Him questions. And here's another thing about young people. Look down here in verse 51. And He went down with them and came to Nazareth, went down where He was born, where He was raised, and was subject unto them. He obeyed his parents. He was subject unto his mother and his daddy. He honored his father and mother. He loved them. He respected them. He was under subjection to them. He didn't argue with them. He didn't debate with them when they'd ask him something. Well, why don't? He was subject to them. You're my father. You're my mother. What you tell me to do, I'll do. When it says you're subject to them, that means more than just... You know, it's like that little old boy that they told him to sit down and shut up. He said, I may be sitting down and shut up on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. And that's not the way our Lord was. And that's not the way you ought to be as a child. Not the way you ought to be. If you know, you ought to be subject to your parents. Honor them. Love them. Obey them. Cherish them. Because there will be a time, there's Kathleen Burgess. In the last 4 months, she lost her father and her mother. And when you lose your mom and your daddy, you're the next generation. You ain't going to get another one. When they're gone, they're gone. And all the things you remember when you was a child, and all the things that they taught you, and all the things that they said, when they're not there anymore, your mind will go to them, and you'll go thinking about them. And boy, I wish mom and daddy was here to talk to me about that. I wish I could ask my daddy that. If my mom was here, I know exactly what she'd say in this situation. So be subject to your mother and your father. Love them. Love them and be subject to them. And then here's a lesson for all of us as believers. When they found the Lord Jesus Christ, even as a child, He said unto them in verse 49, how is it that you sought me? For what was the reason for you seeking me? What was behind it? What was the motive for it? Wish you not that I must be about my Father's business? Our Lord Jesus Christ, as a child, understood that His purpose in life was to worship God, to call on the Father, be committed to the Father's will, the Father's purpose, the Father's word. And He said, wish you not that I be about my Father's business? Must I not be about is what He's saying. And should not you and I as believers, shouldn't our commitment to Christ be that way? Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? Don't you know He's my Father? He's my Father by eternal love and electing grace. He chose me. I didn't choose Him. He loved me before I ever loved Him. He called me out of darkness into light. He called me from death to life. He came and gave me life. He came and did for me what I couldn't do for myself. He loved me and called me His child. Oh, be praised and all the blessing, the praise and honor can never be given unto you worthy of being called a child of God. God said, you're my child. And our Lord said, I must be about my Father. And that's our business in this world, is being about our Father's business. Calling on Him, looking to Him, trusting Him, learning His Word, worshiping Him, teaching our children and teaching ourselves and our wives and learning at the foot of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, let's be about His business. Be about His business. This is His business here. We'll do about His business here tonight. Looking into His Word. Studying together. Worshiping together. Calling on the Lord together. Singing hymns together. And it's wonderful, ain't it? It's peaceful, restful. Gives you a little strength to go back out tomorrow. And then look what our Savior said now. How is it that you sought me? Let me just take a few minutes to say some few things about this. How is it that you sought me? Or what was the reason for you seeking me? When he says, how is it? He's not asking, you know, did you go to some other country? No, no. He said, what was the reason behind it? How did you go? What's the reason behind you seeking me? Why are you looking for me? How are you looking for? How is it that you sought me? Well, back up here in verse 42. He says, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. Now, it was a custom for them. And just a custom. But now, beloved, how many times is it, how many people, is that just all it is? It's a custom. It's a tradition. And you know, I know of twice a year that everybody's a Christian. At least twice a year. Christmas and Easter. And I'll tell you another time people are Christians. When somebody dies. Everybody's a Christian when they die. Everybody's a Christian when they die. You know, when we're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't want our church going just to be a tradition, just to be a custom, just to be a habit. We want to be there because we want to be there. We want to seek Christ and worship Christ because we want to do that. We want to know Him. We want to learn about Him. We don't want it to be just a habit. Well, oh my. Oh boy, I forgot the dates. I got to get... No. We go because we want to go. We enjoy going. And to most people's religion, it's just a habit. It's a habit. And it's a habit that they can take it or leave it. But instead, can we be like David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Oh, I was so glad. Let's go up! Let's go up! God's up! Let's go up where the Lord is. And then it's not only that, but it says here in verse 43, and when they had fulfilled the days, you see, it was a fulfilling of days. A fulfilling of days. You know, they had so many days that they done it, and then when the days were done, they were done. Yeah. Now, how many people do that? They have a fulfilling of days. They got so many days that they're going to act. You know, we've got the 40 days of... They got your Lent, and you put the ash on your head, and then you go and call this Sunday, that Sunday, Holy Week, and all that. And it's a fulfilling of the days, and people go through those rituals. But, beloved, every day is the Lord's day.
Amen.
Every day is Christ's day. Every day. You know, Sunday, the Scriptures call Sunday the Lord's day. And it says in another place that every man, some man esteem one day above another day. Some man esteem every day exactly the same. But as far as I'm concerned, every day belongs to the Lord. It's His day. It's His earth. It's His fullness. And beloved, it's not doing our duties while we're here. We're here not just to fulfill 30 minutes or 40 minutes or an hour and a half. We're here to worship the true and the living God in Christ. Is that not right? Oh, we don't want to just say, well, I've set aside so much time. And when I get that time done, I'll just leave it go and I'll pick up where I left off. And that's the way a lot of people are about religion. You know, you don't see them for weeks or months and they come out and just pick up right where they left off. I don't understand that. That my mind can't get around that. It's the Lord's day all the time.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to worship Christ on Sunday. Collectively. Corporately with you. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday. But I get up on Monday morning and I worship the Lord, don't you? I got up yesterday morning and worshiped the Lord. I'm going to get up tomorrow and I'm going to thank Him for the day and I'm going to bless Him for the day and say, Lord, this day belongs to You. If You'll give it to me, I've got some things I need to do. I need to get a bulletin together. I need to write a newspaper article. Would You bless me and help me to do that? It's the Lord's day. Oh, and I'm thankful that it's His day, ain't you? Oh, what if I got up and said, boy, this is my day. And I'm going to keep this day for myself to do just nothing for nobody but me. That's the way, so many, that's the way the world thinks. I need a day for myself. Well, if it belongs to you, you're in trouble. You know what you'll do with that day if it belongs to you? You'll make a mess out of it. You'll get to the end of it and you say, what have I done with this day? I'm worse off now than I was when I got up. I need another day for myself to get over the day I had for myself. That's what people do. Oh, but that's the world. That's the way the world thinks. Now watch this now. Down in verse 44. The Lord Jesus, He stayed behind in Jerusalem. They started going home. And Joseph and Mary didn't know it. Now I was reading, and this is what normally happens. And see, some from Nazareth is going down there, and a whole bunch of kin folks and that, they're going down there, and the men walk together, and the women walk together. And it would be unusual for Mary to think, when she didn't see Jesus with them, she said, well, He's up there with His daddy. He's up there with the men. And the men think, well, he's probably back there with his mama. And have you ever left your children in church sleep on the bench? Yeah. Yeah, we have to. And so that's what happened here. But the Lord Jesus, He stayed behind. He stayed behind. Now look what it says here. But they, supposing Him to have been in the company, they just supposed that He was with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Lord.
Oh, you're talking about a vain supposition. And that's one thing I really know about believers. They do not presume that Christ is with them. They want to know, and they're constantly saying, Lord, I want to know You. That's what Paul said, I want to know You. I want to be found in You. I want to win You.
Amen.
I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't want to be deceived. But they thought, and what an age of religious presumption that people have. They would, if you ask them, you reckon you know the Lord, they say, well, of course I do. Of course Jesus is with me. Huh? And they'll say, ain't you got a right for Christ to be with you? Huh? Me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. Huh? Why shouldn't Jesus be with us? Why? Huh? Well, the Jesus is being talked to men today. Well, sure, He's with everybody. He's pitiful and to be pitied. Has a sorry excuse for a Savior, the one that's right there today. He can't save anybody. He can't keep them saved. He depends on the free will of man. He depends on man's ability to cooperate with Him. And they suppose that He's with them. But beloved, where Christ is at, He rules and He reigns.
Amen.
He's loved and He's obeyed. He's worshipped, He's praised, and He's honored, and He's blessed. And who He died to save, He saves. And He keeps them saved. His name is Savior. And if that's His name and that's what He come to do, then why would they give Him a name Savior if He doesn't save? And He does. And oh my. And oh, the article I'm going to write tomorrow is this, that I thought of today, and I was writing it and I was talking with Bruce about it. People want everything out of God that they can possibly get, but the only thing they don't want from God is salvation from sin. Now, ain't that right? They want God for everything that you can imagine, but they don't want salvation from their sin. They don't want a Savior. They want a fire escape from hell. They want an aspirin for their headache. They want somebody to get them out of jail. They want somebody to save their marriage. They want somebody to save their finances. They want somebody to save their homes. But oh my, who in the world wants to be saved from their sin? Huh? And they supposing Him is in their company. See, the Pharisees, they thought that He was with them. They were elect. They believed in election. Yes, sir. And they had a pedigree. They could trace their lineage back. They said, we're Abraham's children. Never been in bondage to anybody. They had the law, they had the ceremonies, they had the priesthood, they had the temple. But you know what our Lord said about them? When they thought that they found salvation on them, He said, "You're clean cups on the outside, and you're platters, and you're pretty graves. That's all you are. That's all you are." And oh man, and I tell you, just because a man has the right doctrine, that doesn't mean the Lord Jesus Christ is with him.
No.
It doesn't mean it at all. David said, "Lord, if it please you to deliver me." And you know, that's the language, and this is what really religion says, you know, they command God. And they say, God, they just matter of factly say, "God will do that for you if you'll do this and if you do that." But believers say, "If it pleases the Lord." That's the language of a believer. If it pleases the Lord. If it pleases the Lord, I pray He saves my children. If it pleases the Lord, I pray He'll do this. If it pleases the Lord, I pray He'll meet with us. We always say, "If it pleases the Lord." God, if it would honor you and bring glory to you, if it pleases you, you do that. And if it doesn't, you're still God. Ain't that right? But that's the language of a believer's heart. Huh? And look what happened now. They supposed Him to have been in the company. There's been a lot. I've dealt with all these things at different times. But see, look here. They went a day's journey. And a day's journey in the Scripture is just like a lifetime. It's just a day is like a lifetime. A day's journey. As a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And that's about all our life amounts to. We sung in that hymn, you sow it as flower, leaves on a tree, we bloom and flourish, and then we wither and perish, but thou not changest thee. And oh, beloved, our days were as a river's shuttle, as a hand's breadth.
Yeah.
Few days and full of trouble. Come forth, and then we're gone. Our lives are as a tale that's told. Mary and I was on going somewhere the other day, and we'd say, you know, you could always see where somebody lived years and years ago. When you go down the road, you'll see a whole bunch of Easter flowers, and you see flowers in a particular place, and you'll say, "That's somebody's old home place. Somebody lived there." And you can tell by the flowers it's there. Now they're gone. Who lived there? What kind of house did they have? What was their name? And you can go all over this county or all over the United States and find places like that. There was evidence by the flowers and the trees and the order that there was that somebody lived there one day. Now it's a tale that was told. And now nobody don't even know the tale to tell.
That's right.
And that's where it'll be. Old Floyd will be gone one of these days. So you remember old Floyd Bourne. And we'll talk about him. And we'll say things about him. And we'll talk about how he acted and what he said. And then when Melder's gone, we'll talk about Eleanor. And a tale. We'll tell their tale until we're gone, until their children are gone. And then the tale will cease to be told. And oh my, what kind of tale are they going to tell on you? Huh? Oh boy. And let's don't go all our lives thinking He's with us. And then get to the end of the way and look around and say, "Where's the Lord at? Where's the Lord at? I'm fixing to leave you. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? I thought the Lord was with me. Thought the Lord was with me." Oh my. And then look what they've done. I'll hurry. I've got to hurry quickly. They look for Him. Look where they look for Him at. They didn't find Him. And they sought Him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. Oh, my. A young woman wrote me a letter this week, and her dad's a Methodist preacher. And her husband are believing the sovereign grace of God, and her husband started preaching a little bit. And they was here in our services several months ago, and Brother Bruce preached, and I've been corresponding with her some, and she said, "You know, my dad, I didn't even go to his retirement. He's a Methodist preacher, and so we've done, you know, he don't like our, you know, he despises the gospel, doesn't believe the gospel we believe, hates what we believe in that." And she said, "Well, how do you deal with this? How do you deal with it?" Now, she's talking about her kinsfolk. She said, "I can't find Christ. among my kinfolk. Huh? Can't find them among her acquaintance. And I wrote her back and told her, she said, what do you do with people in your family that's against you in what you believe? I said, I don't have that problem. Ain't nobody in my family got an ounce of religion. I don't have that problem. My brothers and sisters and mother and daddy, they don't give a flip one way or another. God don't enter their thoughts. Only time he enters their thoughts if I say something about it. And I quit casting my pearls before swine. If I'm needing Christ, am I going to go to my family and say, will you tell me where I can find Christ? How if I go ask my brother, go ask my mama, I go ask my second cousins, third cousin, first cousin, tell me where I can find the Lord Jesus? Oh my. But you know what our Lord Jesus said when they come outside one time, his mother and brother stand out there and said, Master, your mother and brother stand without, they won't talk to you. He said, who is my mother? Who is my brother? Yes, he that doeth the will of my Father. And oh my. And then they went looking for him at Jerusalem. And then they found him, in verse 45, they turned back again to Jerusalem. Now Jerusalem was the religious capital of the world. At this particular time, and probably to most people, they still think it is. They still say, I'm going to go to the Holy Land. That's awful. Go to the Holy Land. Well, if you want to come to the Holy Land, come on down to our place there on the porch. It's just as holy as it is in Jerusalem. Ain't that right? One place is like the other. But they went looking for Jerusalem. They went to the place where religion abounded.
That's right.
Religion abounds. Do you reckon you can find Christ in today's religion? If you went looking for the Lord Jesus Christ in today's religion, old Rolf Barner said the safest place, the best place in the world to hide from God is buy yourself a Bible and join a Baptist church. And said nobody will ever bother you. Never bother you. Safe place to hide. Get you a Bible and join the Baptist church and stay there two or three services. After a while, they'll say, well, that fellow there must be saved. He must know the Lord. Look at him. They'll treat you just like... they might make you a deacon if you really, really act right. But oh my. But they found him. Where did they find him? Didn't find him in Jerusalem, the religious capital. Didn't find him among their kinfolks and acquaintance. Didn't find him in the custom and in the fulfilling of days. Where did they find him at? Yeah. Said they found him in the temple. Found him in the temple. Sitting in the midst of the doctors. Sitting in the midst of the doctors. He's about the Father's business. His first order of business is to honor and glorify God Almighty. And then it says here that he's sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. I've already mentioned that. And they all were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now watch what happens here. And when they saw him, they were amazed. They just, you know, I believe they walked in there and saw him and said, how in the world did we miss him? And what is he doing here? I believe that's what was happening. And watch this. Said, son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Now watch this. Behold thy father, and I have sought thee sorry. Now look what our Lord said back to him. How is it that you sought them? Now she said, I and thy father. Our Lord Jesus said, wish you not that I be about my father's business. He knew that Joseph wasn't his father. He knew who his father was.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't about Joseph's business. Joseph was a carpenter. He was about his father's business. He made the distinction. Between, and that's why his mother, she didn't understand. Neither one of them understood what he was saying. And oh, let me close out with this right quick. In verse 48, it said, behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Sought thee sorrowing. And beloved, they sought him until they found him. They looked for 3 days. They had went 3 days' journey. They went a day's journey. And they looked around for him. And it came to pass after 3 days, they looked for him. And I mean, they looked and looked and looked till they found Him.
Yeah.
And you seek and seek and seek till you find Him. If you don't know Him, and you've never seen Him, and you're looking for Him, don't you stop. He said, when you search for Me with all your heart, then you'll find Me. Find Me. And they found Him. They found Him. And oh, beloved, they looked here and they looked yonder and they found Him not, and they turned back again. Now here's the situation. They turned back again. He's not here. And if you've lost, and you as a believer, and I've done this. If you've lost His smile, if you've lost His presence, if you through neglect, negligence, worldliness, for whatever reason, if you've lost His smile and His presence, it seems like your first love has grown cold. And it's not there. Turn back. Turn back to Christ. Turn back to Him. And seek Him with all your heart. And find Him. And you know what you'll find? You'll find Him about His Father's business. And His Father's business is to save His sheep and comfort His sheep and to save His sheep. Oh my. And when they saw Him, they were amazed. And I tell you what, when you see Him, you'll be amazed too. And I still am amazed, ain't you? I'm still amazed at the Lord Jesus Christ. His compassion, His power, His glory. And He grew in stature. I mean, His bodily size grew. He grew in wisdom as a man. He had to go through everything a human being goes through. And He grew in favor with God. God blessed Him. God graced Him. God taught Him. God instructed Him. And as He done that, because of His character, He grew in favor with men too. They said, boy, that's a wonderful man. That's a wonderful young man. What they said. I didn't have any idea he was God manifest in the flesh. But he had favor with me. I hope that's been profitable to us all tonight. Our Father. Gracious, gracious Father. How blessed and holy and righteous is Your name. Lord, our hearts is overwhelmed at times with Your love and Your mercy, Your grace, Your word. Lord, bless this word to our understanding tonight to our hearts. Lord, we do. I know every believer, it's in every believer's heart here tonight to honor You, glorify You, to lay the heart to things that we hear, to remember. So, Holy Spirit, when the time, when we're in situations, bring the things of Christ to our remembrance again. Strengthen and encourage Your dear people here tonight. And Father, be mindful and merciful to those who are not with us tonight through Your providence or through sickness. We ask it in Christ our Lord's name. Amen.